Your Bibles, let's take your Bibles to Acts chapter 23. And this morning we want to look at the protecting hand of God. There are many verses that speak about this. I'll only give you this one right now. Psalms 5:11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebride Islands. One night, hostile natives surrounded the mission station, intent on burning out the Pattons and killing them. Patton and his wife prayed during the terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers leave. One year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Christ. Remembering what had happened, Patton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in surprise, "Who were all those men with you there?" Patton knew no man there was present, but the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. You say, well, that's just a story. You realize the Bible has the same type of account in it? It's found over in 2 Kings. Let me read this to you as well. This is about Elisha. Now, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of the officers. "But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This morning we want to challenge ourselves with the protecting hand of God. Last week in Acts chapter 23, we saw how Paul spoke to the Sanhedrin. They were the ruling authorities amongst the Jews, even though they were under Roman dominion. Paul says that he has fulfilled his duty to God in all good conscience. He has done what God had called him to do. And remember last week, apparently this did not please the high priest, because the high priest told somebody close to Paul to slap him across the mouth. And Paul responded, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourselves violate the law by commanding that I be struck. They reprimanded Paul for speaking that way to the high priest. Paul replies, brothers, I did not realize he was the high priest, for it is written, do not speak evil about the rulers of your people. But then he tells them, let's pick this up again in verse 6 of chapter 23. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees, and remember our definition of a Sadducee, Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Okay, so that's a good way to remember the what a Sadducee is about. Then Paul, knowing that there were some Sadducees and other Pharisees, called out in the Sanhedrin, my brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead. And once again, I want to challenge you as followers of Jesus Christ. This is one thing that sets us apart from the unbelieving world. I've shared this illustration many times. When I was in Bay City at the South Baptist Church, every morning I'd go over to the McDonald's. It was right next to the church parking lot. I'd go over there and sit down, and you get to know people as you're there going over your sermon and stuff like that. And Ed was at the far end of the restaurant. Over the time, I got to know Ed, and you know, we got to be good friends. And he's the guy who invited me over to his house to play 9-ball pool. I'd never played it before. Fun game, you know. But he was sort of a pool shark in Bay City when in his younger days. And so I'm there, and you know, I'm enjoying myself. I says, Ed, I'm a preacher. I just wanted to ask you about what you believe about Jesus. Oh, don't say anything about that. I don't believe that. I believe that when you die, you're as dead as the dog. You're just dead. You're done. Well, that's what? That's not what we believe. And we don't believe the Bible teaches that either. We believe the Bible says that because Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, and that he rose again, we also look forward to spending eternity with Christ someday. And that's Paul's hope. We refer to this as the hope of the believer. There's a couple places. Titus chapter 2 says it this way. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions while we live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. I hope that you enjoy being a part of that very own number. And that you are doing what it says there. That you are departing from wickedness. And that you're looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Paul's saying, hey, I stand on trial because of my hope in the resurrection of the dead. When he had said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The assembly was divided. The Sadducees say there's no resurrection. That's why they're Sadducee. Okay. And they say there's no angels or spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. There was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. We find nothing wrong with this man, they said. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? The dispute became so violent, and the commander was afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from there by force and bring him into the barracks. Our passage really, our sermon really surrounds verse 11. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Now, for me, as soon as the Lord said that, I believe at this moment Paul becomes an invincible man. He has God's shield in place. And we get to see in this next portion of Scripture, starting in verse 12, where God's protection is at work. Now, the Bible often teaches and illustrates the doctrine of God's providence, that God is over all things. Now, that's something you sort of, you should put that on a hook in your life. Lord, you are over all things. Now, there may be things that happen in my life that I certainly don't understand, and I don't like them. But God is still in sovereign control over my life. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Back in Psalms 139, he says, every day of my life has been written in his book before one of them came to pass. And I always tell these young ladies up here, God knows who you're going to marry someday already. God knows how many kids you're going to have. He knows those kind of things. All right? And we need to be challenged in our walk with him, because God also holds us accountable too. He holds us responsible. You know, and you can say, well, whatever will be, will be. So I guess I'm gonna go out and stand in front of the bus and God will protect me. Well, I'll probably be scraping you off the sidewalk, okay? Because God also gives you one of these things and he expects to use it. Okay? And so, so it's interesting. Verse 12. The next morning, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. Guess what? Paul doesn't even know about this at this moment. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priest and elders and said, we have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we've killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets here. Okay? Now, once again, I believe that God is involved in the life of Paul. As you have preached for me in Jerusalem, you must also preach for me in Rome. And one of the things we just need to trust in is that when God lays one of those promises on you, he cannot go against himself. He cannot lie. So it's going to happen. But all of a sudden, we got 40 men in the way of having it happen. And guess what? This is where we start wringing our hands, maybe. We start looking at the problems of life, and we start wondering, oh, I don't know how God is ever going to get me through this. And we can become worrywarts. There are some things that God has promised you already that you are protected from. Number one, we mentioned it last week, you are protected from the coming wrath of God. The Bible says that we're going to have salvation from the coming wrath of God. The believer is also protected from being abandoned to the grave. There's going to be a resurrection someday. And I always tell people, you might have to visit Hackers or Marshes. But God's promise is, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And we just need to rest in those kind of things as we are going through, at times, the trials of life. Lord, and so, I wish when as soon as the trial hits Brian Cuddy, I would look up and say, Lord, you're in charge. But I also find myself wringing my hands and worrying. And so, what's God going to do? God has his person. Look at this. Verse 16. But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, take this young lad to the commander. He has something to tell him. So he took him to the commander. The centurion said, Paul, the prisoner sent for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you. The commander took the young man by the hand, drew him aside and asked him, what is it you want to tell me? He said, the Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretense of wanting more accurate information about him. Don't give in to them, because more than 40 of them are waiting in ambush for him. They have taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent to their request. And sometimes I ask, there's sometimes the question that just comes out of this. Is there any protection? And we'll say, Paul's God's man. Paul's special. Is there any protection for me as a believer? And we've just gone through those few. I'm protected from the coming wrath of God. I'm protected from being abandoned to the grave. I'm protected from losing my standing in Christ. And once again, I believe that once I come into this relationship of being in Christ, I don't lose it. And the question we often ask yourself, do you have a guardian angel? Do you have a guardian angel? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says it this way. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So it tells me that there are some angels at work. We also tell in Mark chapter 18, it says Jesus is speaking about children. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Now, there's been times in my life, Dave Steinkopf talks about the accident that he had when the road was washed out and he plowed his truck into the ravine. And I've had times where the first snow, don't you hate it? Don't you wish your tires knew when the first snow came? You know, it seems like every time I was in Bay City and the first snow and I had the two kids in the back of the Horizon and I went to stop at the stoplight. I might have been going just a little bit fast, but I went to stop at the stoplight and baby, it wasn't going to stop. And it's a red light for me and it's a green light for 25 coming into Bay City. And at that time, I just basically pushed on the gas, and I heard people beeping and beeping and probably saying a few things about me. And I got all done. I says, man, there must have been angel feathers all over that place. Because I really believe that God parted the ways for me that day. Okay? And I think, I believe that God is still in the business of watching over his children with special providence. He's got a path for you to walk. And there's times, I really believe, there's times even when we start to go to the right hand or to the left, I like to think that the Lord is there saying, hey, Brian Cuddy, get back on track. Well, we know that even Nebuchadnezzar recognized this in the book of Daniel. He says, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants." And David, when he was in the lion's den, he answered the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, O king." You should remember that Jesus is concerned for the protection of his followers. And he's concerned about you too. The believer is not exempt from problems. You will have them. And some of you are going through the difficulties of life. Maybe it's cancer. Different things. Just different things going on. You realize that Herod had James, one of the disciples, killed. And he also intended to kill Peter. But God rescued him. And sometimes we wonder, well, God, what about James? And somehow you need to have that hook in your life that hooks on there. My God is in charge of all things. I may not understand what and why he does what he does, but I will learn to trust him. And that you need that hook in your life. You need that hook. I hope that you've grabbed onto it before, and you're trusting in that. Jesus warns his followers that trials would be coming their way. I always like John chapter 16. "All this I've told you, so you won't go astray," he says to the disciples. "They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known me or the Father." Right? "I've told you this now so that when it happens, you'll remember that I warned you." Okay? So Jesus blesses him. He provides a comforter for us, a counselor. And I believe the Holy Spirit even works as a guardian in my life. I personally believe that the Holy Spirit can prompt the believer. There are times I believe the Holy Spirit can to challenge the believer, almost like, don't go that way. And we need to be sensitive to those times in our lives. God gave Paul a promise that he would speak for him in Rome, but Paul is in Jerusalem and there are 40 guys who have taken an oath not to eat or drink until they have killed him. They even get the ruling Jews to help orchestrate their plan. It is at times like these we often start to wring our hands and look at the problem. God is not troubled. And here's another hook for you. Nothing is impossible with God. Just God is over all things. Nothing is impossible with God. Those are some truths you just need to store away. And when the winds of adversity come and you're ready to argue with God that you must not love me anymore, I would rather have you reach for the hook. God is in charge of my life, and there's nothing that God cannot do. Now you need to realize God may not do what you want him to do. But God is able. Okay? Our God is over all. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without him knowing it. God is working for Paul before Paul even knows about the problem. God uses ordinary people to carry out his plans. The son of Paul's sister, the first time we ever hear about any relationship that Paul has in the Bible. God worked in the heart of the guards. Once again, my son's been in jail. And he will, probably the first thing you would tell, jail guards are jerks. They don't even listen to reason, you know. But somehow, God orchestrated so this jail guard is willing to listen to Paul. Okay? Paul's prison conduct probably worked along with that. If you're a jerk in jail, expect the guards to be a jerk to you. What did God do for Daniel when he was in prison? God brought him in the favor with the guards. And I see that God can work, and we need to realize that we have our part too. Paul is responsible to act and respond to the threats he has heard about. He could say, "Oh, my nephew, God made me a promise. He said that as I spoke to him for him in Jerusalem, I'd also speak for him in Rome. So I, let him come. Nothing's going to happen to me." Once again, what did God put up here? He put a brain up here for you to use. He put a sense of, hey, what do I need to do? And there's things that we need to do as well. Dr. Welch in seminary and college, he used to call it the divine human cooperative. God does his part, but he also expects us to do our part. And so I think that's where we see it here happening. Paul gets his nephew to the commander. And I always like this part here. He says, the commander dismissed the young man and cautioned him, "Don't tell anyone that you have reported this to me." And then I like this part probably the best of all. It is interesting to see the measures that God can take in protecting us. Because what to say here? Verse 23. Then the commander called two of his centurions and ordered them, "Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen, and go to Caesarea at 9 tonight." God uses to make sure that just as Paul preached in Jerusalem, he was also going to preach in Rome. Now here, he's heading for Caesarea. There's going to be other paths that Paul's going to take yet before he gets to Rome. But we need to realize, just sort of think of that. My God is not unlimited in what he can do for me as one of his children in my time of need. And so, once again, sort of hold on to these things. God, you're in charge. You're in charge of everything. Nothing is impossible with you, God. And God, you are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We need to trust those things. And once again, I wish I got A's on this all the time. But so many times, when we see the problem ahead of us, we focus in on the problem instead of on the protector. May we learn to cast our thoughts and our faith and our trust to Him. Lord, we come to You this morning. We thank You for Your protection. We thank You that You know us. You know us. You know where we're at. You know what we're going through. And Lord, oh man, every day of our life has been written in Your book before one of them came to pass. You've ordered our steps. But Lord, You've also given us a brain. And we're supposed to use it to bring glory to You. So Father, we pray that You would work once again in our lives this morning. Help us to acknowledge that You're in charge. For all the way, He will take care.